When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you.
I said, you do that real good, Dave. He wanted to make sure you all heard that, so he turned the microphone off for me. No, we were lucky, fortunate to have the talent that he shares with us on the Sunday mornings. Glad you're with us.
Good morning.
It's good to have all these bright, shiny faces. We had some shiny faces yesterday at the picnic. If we could have had the rain hold off just a little bit, but it did not hold off. So we came in what we could do inside, played a little cornhole. Some of them did not, but it was still good. Anybody went away hungry? Then I guess it was okay. So anyway, we are glad that those participated in that, and we thank you. Now there's some other things happening this week. One is, if you're a part of the board, we have a board meeting tomorrow evening. ladies have prayer breakfast, say at 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And missions and primetimers on Wednesday. Primetimers, I believe, is also a picnic. So let Donna know if you want to come to that so we know how many hamburgers to cook. Now, you don't think, it's not important. It is important. We had 30 people sign up for the picnic. I cooked 45 hamburgers and so many hot dogs. 50 people showed up. So I had to cook some more hamburgers. And so it's important we let us know how many people's going to be there so that we can do that. So if you do plan on coming up, but we're not shy about sharing. We just didn't want to waste anything there. And so let us know if you plan on being a part of that so we can make sure we have things planned accordingly. Pastor gave me this. If you're if you're interested in that, likewise, where they put the religious training can be incorporated into the day hour of the school. You can and you want to talk to the pastor, ask him more about that. But if you want to contact the local school board, their information is on here, so you can do that and contact them. You know, I like. One other thing I mentioned is VBS. VBS is going to be at the end of the month. And there is a animal tree out here. Pick an animal, purchase the item on the animal, and then next week place it into the box. It'll be in front of the animal or wherever it will be to collect the things we'll need for Bible school. So if you'd like to support the Bible school by purchasing the items, pick an animal on the tree, purchase the item, and then place it next week in the box whenever you bring that in. I like bluegrass music. And this morning I was listening to radio, and one of the songs said call on God to let the fire fall, baptize us all, you know? And another song said, let's go down to the river, you know, and pray. And another song said, look in the book for salvation. As he was on this morning, different songs had these things. And I said, well, that could be a little complicated if you don't know too much about it, do you? So I just thought about it. I said, look in the book. If you go to John there in the 14th chapter, 6th verse, it's pretty easy. It says, Jesus says, I am the way, the life. You know, if you want to know about salvation, if you want to know about how to be saved and be cleansed, just go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He's able to do it, and he's willing to do it, and he's waiting on you to do it. He loves you. God bless you.
And we know as we trust in Jesus, his grace is enough, right? I got lost on this one last time. So be careful. Pay attention so you don't get lost. All right, let's stand and sing this morning, shall we? Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings the chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the King the slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Then you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. He's done it all. Thank you. Praise the name of the Lord. Of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Praise, grace, God's grace, grace that will. That will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Let's read 1 Corinthians 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Galatians 6, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're gathered here this morning because of your grace in our life, because of what you've done, not because of what we've done. Lord, we praise your name this morning. We look forward to what you have from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. If you made it to the parade, you would have seen the LifeWise bus going down the street, throwing out candy, and we had people from different churches that were there. We had a couple from our church, hoping there would be more, but there's only a few, and a few passing out flyers, but church uptown, the Pentecostal church, had 27 people that came, which was nice. They were walking in front and behind the bus, so it was kind of a good showing there. Paper that Russ is talking about this morning is out on the table if you want to see it. It just talks about what you can do for LifeWise, because you know the board rescinded the policy, which it would be possible to do it, but it makes it even harder now because that means a parent would have to go every day and sign their kid out as opposed to a blanket statement. So the next step is hopefully to pray to get the policy reinstated. There is an election coming up for board members. So if you're interested in being a board member of the school board, that's the next step. Get 3 members in and let God do his work. So cause is not lost. It just means we have to regroup, try to get more family and friends and people involved in just signing up, saying you support it. So you can go online and support it. You don't have to do anything except say you're going to pray maybe for it. But the more people we can gather, the better it's going to be. And then at some point, you know, if we get 200 people in there at the board meeting with all their LifeWise shirts, I think that'd be a good statement for us to make. So the enemy didn't defeat us, just made us regroup and take another strategy. So the strategy now is just pray harder and just witness more to other people about what LifeWise can do, because I think it's a good thing for the schools. And the thing that baffles me is that if Columbus City Schools can have it, why doesn't West Jeff have it? So, I mean, it's all around us. It's just the enemy fighting us. So we're the special case. We're always a special case, but we're the special case where we're having to fight. And I think it's worth the fight. So keep praying for that, that God can put Christian principles in our schools. And so we need that. So it has brought some pastors together in the community. We meet about once a month now at Flyers, not just for food, but we talk about what's happening in the church, what's happening in the community, how can we be involved, can we add it to our budget to start supporting it, because it's going to cost. It's not free. It costs about $30,000 to $40,000 a year for that, so that means we need people to support that, because you need a director, you need teachers, you need supplies for the kids. It doesn't cost the kids anything, though, so we provide it for them as a service for the churches. And God can do it, right? There might be one person out there that just can say, I'm going to pay it all. It's not me, but maybe if somebody's out there. You never know, right? So let's keep praying for that. And I got to see Roger this week, and he's doing well. And so that's an answer to prayer. He had a lot of issues. Seemed like he was being attacked one way or another, you know, with sores and then, you know, sickness and then cellulitis and all kinds of stuff he had. But I think he's on the mend, right? Did you want to say something about that? So keep praying for that. He has one of the wires that wrap around your sternum that came loose. So they're hoping it's going to just heal up and not have to go back in there and redo that wire. So pray for that as well. So my mom is still fighting with the insurance company. I think they're insane. They approve it one time, and then 3 days later they disapprove it. And so they're at that phase now for her to stay in there. But she did walk 25 feet yesterday, which she hadn't done. So she walked 25 feet with the help of two aides. But the insurance's reasoning is she's not improving fast enough. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, anyway. So the next phase is send it off to a judge who's going to talk to a doctor. So I don't know the whole policies. You know, our policy's kind of messed up anyway. So that's the next phase. Otherwise, they got to pay $3,000 a week, I think is what it costs for that, something like that, to be in there. So because every time you see a therapist, you know it's $100, half an hour. So and they see threes. I don't know if it's a day or what she sees, but anyway. So just pray for that to happen. Pray for my sister. She keeps telling me, you know, keep praying because it's working. She's not a Christian. And so that's a good witness to her to see, you know, answer prayer and things. So any other praise or prayer you'd like to share this morning?
So I'm advertising with my t-shirt today. So The Sound of Music is coming next week to London High School, and Kirsten is playing the part of Gretel von Trapp, the youngest child. So if you need a date night or a night out, it's Thursday and Friday and Saturday, the 20th, 21st, 22nd, tickets at the door or online. And I also wanted to share that David, in over 2 years, had his best blood work results last week, and is back in the normal range, so he's feeling really good. So thank you for your prayers for David.
I was thinking you had all the Von Trapp kids, but I wasn't sure if you're all going to be in there or not. But anybody else? Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thanks for the fun picnic that we had yesterday and for all the fellowship we were able to have. Pray for those, Lord, that are facing difficult circumstances. Some of those you know about, some I don't know about, but you know about all of them. So, Lord, you know the needs of health. There's a lot of people with health issues of sore joints or operations or sicknesses or disease or whatever it may be, depression and all those things that happen out there, family relationships that are strained. And we just pray for all those relationships that you'll step in and that you'll just take over these situations, Lord, and just help them to come to a good ending or a good result, and that you'll be glorified in them, that they can be witnesses for you if they're the Christian in the relationship and the other person may not be. Pray for those who have spiritual needs. We know the enemy's on the attack, Lord, trying to defeat us, trying to discourage us, trying to make us quit, but we know that in you all things are possible. Even with the situation with the school board, we're going to carry on, Lord, because we believe it's what you want us to do. So we're going to keep praying and continue to seek your face and seek support from those around us and the strength of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to see this in place maybe in the next year or so. So we just pray for that. Pray for those who've had operations that are recovering, that you'll be with them. Those who are in extended care, those who are at home and can't get out, pray be with them as well, Lord. Guide and direct them. Help them know they're not alone, that we love them, we care for them, we're praying for them. Be with those requests, Lord, that may not have been mentioned today, but that you know of. So we ask you to be with us this morning. In your name, amen. I was looking up some information or some things about communion, and a lady named Allison wrote some information that I thought was good for us to look at and to reevaluate and to listen to. Talks about communion. She said, pieces of bread or hard little wafers, wine or Welch's, or maybe you get fancy with sparkling grape juice. Weekly, monthly, or hardly ever, communion is celebrated in Christian churches around the world, but it's more than a mid-sermon snack. So what is it actually? Some people call it the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Table, Communion, Cup of Blessing, Breaking of Bread. In the early church, it was called the Eucharist, or Giving Thanks, and generally by the Latin Mass, a name derived from the formula Dismissin et, Missa et, whatever. If you're a Latin person, you can correct me afterwards if you want. It means go, it is discharged, which means you've given it. You've discharged it. The account of the institution of the ordinance is given in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and 1 Corinthians 11. But it's not mentioned in John. And it was designed to commemorate the death of Christ. It says, this do in remembrance of me, to signify, seal, and apply to all believers the benefits of the new covenant. In this ordinance, Christ ratifies his promises to his people, and they, on their part, solely and soundly consecrate themselves to him, to his entire service. So we're dedicating ourselves back to Lord. The Lord, as we have communion, we're saying, I'm giving myself back to you. It's a refreshing for us. It's to be a badge of the Christian profession, to indicate and promote the communion of believers with Christ, that we're communing with him. It's also our mutual communion with each other, saying we're, as a group of body, we commune together. The elements used to represent Christ's body and blood are bread and wine. The kind of bread, whether leavened or unleavened, is not specific. Christ used unleavened bread simply because it was at that moment on the paschal table. Wine and no other liquid is to be used. We used juice because we don't believe it was fermented. Some people do. Believers feed on Christ's body and blood, not with the mouth. So I know some faiths believe that that it's called transmutation, I believe, or transmutation, where it actually becomes his blood and body. We don't believe that that happens. We believe it's a symbol, and it's by the soul alone, by faith, in which the mouth and the hand are the soul, not just eating and drinking. It's by the power of the Holy Ghost that we feed on Christ, we take the Lord's Supper. And it's every time we exercise our faith, we're feeding on him, aren't we? Feeding on Christ in our soul. So as we pass out the elements, take a moment and make sure you're right with the Lord, and then we'll have communion together. First Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So let's take and eat the bread, remembering Christ's body was broken for us. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For when you ever eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let's drink, remembering Christ's blood was shed for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this day for being with us, for shedding your blood on the cross, Lord, for stretching out your arms in love. But not only for that, but for rising again on the third day, giving us a chance to have salvation as we accept you. Thank you for what you've done. Help us to represent you in the best way that we can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. I had to be sure I had the right mic. Well, I enjoyed our picnic yesterday, and I got to spend a little time with Kathy, and she was showing me the pictures of the new members of our family of God, the little twin babies that were born. And it just made me think about what they're going to be doing as far as teaching those babies how to be a part of the family of God. And they're going to whisper the stories of Jesus, I'm sure, to those two babies. So they're going to grow up hearing about Jesus. They'll be telling the story of Jesus. My folks did that for me, and I'm so glad.
Tell me.
here's where you'll find about Jesus. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior, do you? In times like these, I have anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds. It the solid
rock. Thanks, Chris. Well, we just celebrated the 247th year of America, a nation that started with people being dissatisfied with the inability to worship and live freely. We're kind of there now again, aren't we? Inability to worship and live freely in some cases. But it was a young nation, and it's gone a long way since it started. But one of the values that it had was the Lord, right? We know with age comes value. Some people think that only new things have value, you know, new cars, new houses, new computers. But some things gain value with age, don't they? This is a coin. I tried to find out the most expensive coin, so it's called the St. Gaudens Double Eagle. It's a precious coin for collectors due to its history and rarity. Augustus St. Gaudens designed the coin. And it was minted from 1907 to 1933. There were 445,500 coins minted of this design. Today there's only about a dozen in existence. So what happened to the rest? I don't know, but there's only about a dozen out of those coins that were made. It's one of the most highly sought after coins, and it's valued at $20,165,100 for one coin. Can you imagine that? If you're one of the persons that have one of those coins in your pocket. I was actually at McDonald's the other day, and I don't know what I bought, something or other. And the guy gave me some change. He gave me some quarters, and one was a different color. I'm like, he goes, that's odd. I'm like, yeah, it is kind of odd. Stuck in my pocket. And it's actually a silver quarter. It's pure silver. And so I just put it in my little collection box. They have, you know, different bills in there, you know, a red letter edition and blue letter edition, if you know about bills and things like that. And then I put that quarter in my box, but you can see it's distinctly different. What the value is, I don't know, but it just was kind of unique. But as it gets older, it'll gain value. So along with coins are artwork that appreciate in value. Leonardo da Vinci's Salvator Mundi painting was sold November 17th at Christie's Auction House in New York for $450.3 million. My question is, why? But that painting, that's what it's worth, $450 million for that painting. I'm sure when he was painting, he wasn't thinking about that. He was just painting along, here's my painting, and then all of a sudden it's worth that much nowadays, and that's gained in value. Automobiles also gain in value. When Ford took on Ferrari in 1966 Le Mans race, the American Motor Company smoked the Italian race car manufacturer. While Ford got the better of Ferrari on the track, the worth of a Ferrari, try to say that three times, the worth of a Ferrari exceeds even the winning car's value. So this is a 250 GTO. They call it the Holy Grail of cars. Only 36 were built. And this car sold at auction in 2018 for $48.50 million for that car. Now, we see things in our society gain value as they get old, but some people think it's the other way around for people. I think the older you get, the more you lose value, the less valuable you are, which is not true in any case. Because the knowledge, information, the wisdom we have as we get older, you can't buy that, you can't manufacture it, you can't get it anywhere. Except from experience, right? From the things you've done, things you've heard, things that you've learned along the way. Job 12:12 says, wisdom is found with the elderly and understanding comes with long life. Wisdom is different than knowledge, isn't it? You can know something and still make dumb choices. You know, but if you're wise, you make wise choices. And that comes from a long life, it comes from experience. And I believe the aged person should be more was more respected in old times. And I think part of the reason was because it was harder to reach in old age. A lot of infants died, didn't make it to old age. The age factor may have been less according to what it is now because of the medicine that we have. So they had respect and honor for older people that made it that age. They knew they were smarter. They knew they were wiser, right? They knew they should be respected. One person said, I'm an elderly man who believes in God and wants to serve him. I often feel that I'm of no value to the Lord. It's not hard to feel that way sometimes, is it? People think, you're just an old person. You don't know anything. It's pretty sad, though, isn't it, when you think about that? We should be giving people that are older more and more respect the older they get. The Bible puts a high value on the elderly. Scripture says, rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God, for I am the Lord. That's Leviticus 19. The verse says, rise in the presence of the aged. And I was starting to think about that. In what cases do we rise? When you have a wedding, right? And the bride comes down, all rise out of respect and honor for the bride. Some churches, whenever they read scripture, everybody stands. Rise at the reading of the word. We stand when we sing in respect and honor, right? When you're in the court, when the judge comes in, all rise. Everybody stands up when the judge comes in. And this says when the elderly are in presence, we're supposed to rise for them. So getting older is an honor. It's a gift, isn't it? It's not something like, gosh, I'm getting older. It's like, man, I'm still here. Right? I woke up today. Maybe there's somebody out there that's going to ask me a question, and I can tell them what I know, what I've learned, what I've found out. I think that's a good thing. I used to talk to my grandfather all the time when he was alive. He'd tell me about the railroad and things he did and all those different experiences he had, and I wish that I'd recorded those so I could hear him again. We write down things in books, don't we, from people that from a long time ago, and you say, oh, that was from the 1800s, and it applies today. People are still going to be people. People still do things people do. No matter what age we get, whatever environment we're in, whatever society it is, we still do things. And there's still wisdom that we can learn. If people will listen and not lock old people away, never visit, never talk to them, then they'll find out things, won't they? I think sometimes about people in the retirement homes. How many people don't get visitors? Probably a lot, right? The good thing about my mom is my sister goes every day. She says, why don't you do this? How come you're not doing this? Who did that? But there's other people that they don't have that. They can be sitting in their wheelchair for 6 hours a day and nobody even knows, nobody checks on them, nobody talks to them. And then you can imagine how you're going to feel if you're that person. The only person you ever see is your nurse who wants to come and take your blood or whatever, and then nobody else talks to you. That's a mission field, isn't it, for us? We have a place right uptown here. Have you ever been in that place? It's not the most pleasant place in the world if you've ever been in there. But you can imagine if you're living there how it is. So God commands the young to show respect to the elderly and says it's the one way we can revere God or reverence God is by respecting those who are older than we are. Older people often have been through experiences and situations that we haven't. And you can always learn something new, can't you? But the other side of that is older people can learn from younger people too, right? They know a lot of things we don't know. It's a whole different society, different world than when I grew up. There's things that come out like, what in the world is that? You know, you got Twitter and all these different things, Snapchat and I don't know whatever else they use. I don't use any of that stuff, but I use Facebook only to stay in contact with people. And then you say, how do you do this on your phone? How do you do that? How do you do that? You know, my daughter comes in, there you go, Dad. I'm like, oh, whatever, fine, you just do it. But that's valuable information because society is going to keep advancing. We need to advance with society. You can't just say, I'm not going to learn that. That's ridiculous. You need to learn the new things. That's how you keep going. That's how you keep up. That's how you communicate. You can't just stay stuck in the horse and carriage, right? I mean, it sounds bad. It sounds scary, and sometimes it is scary, but don't be afraid to ask questions. How do I do this? How can I keep up? And they can't be afraid to ask, how did you do that before this came along? What kind of things did you do? If you ever watched the show Axe Men, well, they cut out all the swearing, so it's sort of clean. But one of the things on there that happened yesterday that I was watching, and these are old shows because one of the guys passed away in 2016, but the show keeps going on. They have these cables that they pull the trees up with and stuff, and they usually use a saw to cut them. They didn't have the saw, so guess what happened? The dad, who's an old guy, get over here, boys, took an axe, put it up on edge, put the cable on it, it's a braided steel cable, and took a hammer and hit it until it cut off. And he said, that's the way we used to do it. So when your machines break down, this is the way we do it. There's still a way. When technology goes away, there's still a way to do things. We don't have to say, oh, we can't do this anymore. Yeah, we did this years ago, just a different way. So people can teach us things that have been done before. So when your power goes out, you can still do things, right, instead of sit there in the dark. But as a church, we must not fall for the belief that we don't need older people. Some churches believe we just need young people, all young people. Oh, it's so great to have all the young people, right? No, we need all people, don't we? We need all of them, old, young, middle-aged, all of them. The older people offer wisdom, compassion, caring, and guidance. And the experience of the elderly is valuable to those who are younger. The Bible says the older women are to teach younger women. That's because they've experienced things as a result of walking through the challenges of life. Some of us have gone through things other people haven't gone through, or they're going to go through, and you can say, I know when that happens, you know, talk to me, because this is what it's going to be like. You can make it through. You can get through this. So take time to spend with older people. Ask them questions. Listen to their stories. Learn from them. Understand what it's like to get old, because you're going to get there someday. Right? Things happen at a slower pace. You do something dumb, you don't heal as quick as you did before. And the next time you don't do the dumb thing, because you learn from it. I can think of being in school and doing things, you know, playing football is one of the things, and I was probably bigger than I am now, you know, but I can think of some of the things that happened, you know, we'd ram people with our heads and do all kinds of stuff like that. And I had like some compressed vertebrae or whatever from that happening years ago, and you don't think about it though when you're young, you know. We used to jump off my mom's roof, and we used to do all kinds of stuff and climb trees and shoot BB guns at each other, you know, dumb stuff. Don't you guys try that at home. But you don't think of the consequences for later on. You don't think how it's going to affect you later on in life. And maybe your parents are going to say to you, no, don't do that because this could happen. This is what I did, and now I'm paying for it. That's why my back is injured because of whatever, you know, or whatever you did, or my foot or my knee's injured because I did this when I was young. I thought I was invincible. But it catches up with you. So listen to the wisdom that they give you. Try to see the world through their eyes. What does it look like when all those things have changed? You know, we don't have milkmen anymore. We don't have this. We don't have that. And now it's a whole different world. And it keeps changing and changing. And think of what it's like to be in that situation. where you're just trying to catch up. You're just trying to stay up with it as things keep going faster and faster and faster, and what it's like for them. And you come in and say, that's not a big deal. Look at this. That's not a big deal. And they're like, it is a big deal because I don't even understand what happened. So try to talk to them on a manner that you can explain to them this is what's going on and not think, oh, you're just dumb. No, they're not dumb. They just don't know. There's things they know that they can say, well, you're dumb. You don't know that. But all people have value. We're created in God's image, and we can all share something with each other. The Bible says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It's attained by righteous living. By having a righteous life, you live a longer life. As you get gray or even bald in some cases, not just men, some women get bald, so don't go there. It's still a crown of splendor. It means God's watched over us, and we need to know that we have a value in him, and that society needs to value us as well. And then the question came to me, what about those who pass on before they get a chance to get old? I have the answer to that. I don't know. Only God knows that. Only God knows why people pass on before we think it's their time. Whether this is a young or an old person, he knows why. Was it something they did? Was it part of something that he had in plan? Were they going to get something, a serious thing that's going to be worse? We don't know. But we know if they trusted him, we know where they are. We know they're in heaven, don't we? We know we're going to see him again someday. Proverbs says, the glory of young men is their strength, and gray hair the splendor of the old. Gray hair or age is a crown of splendor. And your age declares, I've lived a long time, and I've seen things come and go, and I understand some things from hindsight or experience. And I have some wisdom to share. How many people out there have wisdom to share, but nobody ever asks them? You know, what do you know? What was it like when you grew up? What kind of things did you do that we don't do now? Or what do you do differently? Or well, those kind of things. It's interesting to listen to those stories. But you need to realize that your plan or your purpose is not done. Some people think, you know, I'm 65, I'm retired, I'm pretty much done. No, you're not. You're just getting started. God has a plan for you. You're just in a different phase. Right? What that plan is, he knows what it is. I don't know. Maybe you're going to volunteer somebody. Who knows what you're going to do? Maybe you're going to go to an old person's home and visit them. But it's not that your life is wasted. Well, here's a story from 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon when he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now listen. Now lighten the harsh labor and heavy yoke he put on us, and we'll serve you. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. That was actually a wise thing, wasn't it? Go away for 3 days, then come back, instead of making that decision right then. King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people? He asked. They replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them, give them a favorable answer, they'll always be your servants. Sounds like good advice, doesn't it? But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders and gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. Trouble followed Rehoboam as he continued to reject the advice of the elders and went on his way. Eventually, he fled and Jeroboam became king. He set up idols and shrines and false priests, and he was evil as a result. And as a result of his sin, Jeroboam was removed from the face of the earth, as were his relatives. So Rehoboam listened to his buddies and not the elders, who were full of wisdom. Do you think that was a surprise to God? God knew that. That was part of his idea, his plan. But how often do we do that? Somebody gives us advice, an older person, you don't know what you're talking about. And then we try it our own way and it doesn't work. We need to think, you know, who's giving me the advice? So I was reading an article. It says, some people are viewed as dispensable. What does that mean? Dispensable means you can just get rid of them, right? You can get rid of them. This thing making noise? I'm going to switch over to this blue one. You can turn that one off. Okay, now is that better? I don't know what that crackling was, but this is what I read this week from an article. It said the devaluation of our seniors is serious, but equally concerning is that their needs are outpacing our resources. That means we have a lot more seniors living longer because of our medications and things than our resources. 2050, the population of age 65 and older in the United States is projected to be 83.7 million and almost double the 2012 estimate of 43. Statistics and trends of an aging population are driving the rapid increase in care facilities, many of which are understaffed and the economic burden of the younger population. Dramatic rise in the number of people reaching 65 has expanded classifications into three subpopulations. The young old, which I'm not the young old yet, the old, and the oldest old. So if you're 65 to 74, you're young old. If you're 74 to 84, you're the oldest old. You're old, and if you're 85 plus, then you're the oldest old. And I guess if you're 100, that means you're amazingly old. I don't know, that one group's not in there. But the young old, the first wave of baby boomers who reach full retirement in 2011, over the next 20 years, 74 million boomers will be retiring because of increased longevity. What is going on? It's not me. Increased longevity, a wave of aging baby boomers will expand the old category. And the oldest old is the fastest growing segment of the U.S. population. That means people are living longer and longer and longer. The oldest old now represents 10% of the older population, and that's about to skyrocket. So these are more than facts for us. They need to start helping shape our ministry too, don't they? As to who we're ministering to and how we're ministering to those people, there's more and more people getting in that group. So instead of just pushing them to the side, we have to worry about what's happening. So emotional problems of the elderly often increase with physical decline. Care facilities are full of residents and patients with deteriorating sight, hearing, and mobility. And the result, there's a huge need for Christian ministry to the aging and the dying, to the lonely and lost, and their families. So the families of those people in the care facilities need ministering to as well, don't they? And those who are caring for elderly people. Some people that we know are caring for people 24/7, 365 days a year. They need a break sometimes. And if you know who those people are, you may say, hey, could I come in and give you a break? So you can go out and do whatever you want to do. We can't assume doctors and technology will resolve everything. In his book, Being Mortal, Dr. Atul Gawande examines the inadequacy of our doctors and their practices to meet the needs of seniors. And he writes a conversation with Felix Silverstone, a geriatrician, who said, mainstream doctors are turned off by geriatrics. That's because they don't have facilities to cope with the older people. The older person is deaf, has poor vision, and somewhat impaired memory. The old person doesn't have just a chief complaint. They have 15 chief complaints. How in the world are you going to cope with all of them? He said, we're overwhelmed. You ever think of it from that side? I never thought from that side before. You come to the doctor and you go in there for a bunion, whatever. And then you say, well, my knees bother me too, and then my back hurts. And then I got this pain in my head. The doctor's like, wait, whoa, whoa, you came in for one thing. What are we going to do? So you got to imagine their side of it as well. They're under-equipped and understaffed. And he says, we've been wrong about our jobs in medicine. We think our job is to ensure health and survival, but really it's larger than that. It's to enable well-being, and well-being is about the reasons one wishes to be alive. Then he says, hope is not a plan. Hope is our plan, to give people hope. So we don't have the hope of living forever. We have the hope of knowing where we're going to go when we do pass away, don't we? We have that hope. So our hope as Christians is to let them know where they're going to go. Then I was reading this other article by a guy named Dr. DeBacker. He says, God has prepared us our entire lives, and he leads us to a path of understanding what our purpose is for life. And all we have to do is we have to follow it. when we find that purpose. Doesn't matter what age you are, there's a purpose for you. It's not just to sit home and watch TV, right? Or sit on the back porch and just fan yourself in the sun. There's a purpose. Whatever it may be, you have some kind of purpose. He said, they tell you that when you become 65, you're supposed to retire and go on Medicare. When you hear the word retire, it brings to the mind, you retire at night. You go to bed, you go to sleep, you stop, you're not growing, you're not contributing, you're not leaving a legacy. And those things are very important. But we need to realize that God's not done with us, and he has a plan for us. Regardless of our age, he has something for us to do. So he doesn't want us just to jettison everything we've learned in life when we retire and say, okay, I'm done with everything. And then he talks about Moses, the experiences Moses went through, all those things that happened to him, brought him to a point where he's able to talk to Pharaoh. But had he not had those experiences and came where he came from, he wouldn't have gotten that position to be able to do what he did. If you look at statistics, 90% of seniors do not have dementia, and only 10%, so that's 9 out of 10. People always think, you know, well, you're a senior, you have dementia. Only 1 in 10. Not everybody. We can't cast them all in the same group. And then the Medicare thing, another thing I thought was interesting, he says if you don't enroll in Medicare at 65, you pay 10% penalty for the rest of your life. So the government is forcing us to get into those kind of things. Some companies have mandatory retirement at 65. Some have 70. But according to what he's saying, he said you're just reaching your peak at that age. You just come to your point of maturity and knowledge and wisdom at that age, you can start really contributing things that you may not have been able to do before because you didn't have the experience. But now you can. You ever think about it that way? You're 70, you're just getting started. You just got the information that you can do. Maybe at that point you can quit your job that you've been doing and hated for all these years and do something you actually enjoy. Well, I'm going to close with this poem that I found. And it says, I'm not growing old. I'm not growing old. They say I'm growing old. I've heard them say it times untold in language plain and bold. But I'm not growing old. This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well. But I'm not growing old. What if my hair's turned gray? Gray is honorable, they say. What if my eyesight's growing dim? I can still see to follow him who sacrificed his life for me there on the cross of Calvary. Why should I care Why should I care if time's old plow has dug some furrows in my brow? Another house not made with hands awaits me in the glory land. My hearing may not be as keen as in the past it may have been. I can still hear my Savior say, come faltering child, this is the way. The outward man, do what I can to lengthen out this life's short span. Shall perish and return to dust, as everything in nature must. But the inward man, the scriptures say, ah, the inward man is growing stronger every day. Then how can I be growing old? I'm safe within the Savior's fold. Ere long my soul shall fly away and leave this tenement of clay. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I'll meet you on the streets of gold and prove that I'm not growing old. The guy's name is John E. Roberts. Well, God loves us. He sent his son to die for us. He values us. And with age comes value. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you for letting us know that you love and care for us, Lord, and you value us. And the older we get, the more knowledge we get. The more chances we have to share with those who are younger the things we've learned and the experience we've had in your faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you as long as we have breath. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing, shall we? There's something about that name. Just something about that name, Master, Savior.
fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all something about that name.
Amen. The power in the name of Jesus. It's been good to spend time this morning with all you young people, and praise the Lord where we're going, right? Appreciate Pastor's message. Thank you. Have a good week.